Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The epistle to the Hebrews is so named because the author explains the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures and a great deal of Hebrew religious ceremonies and priesthood and things like that are mentioned in the book of Hebrews that shows Jesus Christ fulfilled it. In particular, our Lord fulfills the office of the high priest. So let's take a look at the Old Testament priesthood and see how Jesus fulfilled it. Now, I'm not a priest, I'm a pastor. We don't, in the Lutheran Church, we don't use the term priest for our clergy because in the scriptures, priests offered blood sacrifices of animals along with prayers. Obviously, we're not sacrificing animals because Jesus sacrificed and shed his blood. Now, there were many priests, but only one high priest, beginning with Aaron, the brother of Moses. The high priest presided over the most sacred of holy days. Only he could enter the Holy of Holies of the temple, the special inner court of the temple. Now, no priest is sinless. So before making sacrifices on behalf of you or the rest of the people, the priests had to make a sacrifice for themselves. And as the book of Hebrews says, there was no end to the number of sacrifices then that had to be made. But the high priest had a much greater load on his shoulders. He was appointed for life. And according to Leviticus chapter 4, the high priest's own sins brought guilt on all the people. So that was a very heavy burden that the high priest had to bear. And so the high priest was able to deal gently with the people because he felt the double burden of both his sins as well as yours. Now, of course, as you know, the church no longer has such a priesthood. Jesus fulfilled these offices by his death and resurrection. His blood that he shed on the cross one time and for all times satisfied and ended the need for any further sacrifices. Jesus is now our sinless, holy, and final high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Who? Melchizedek. He first appears in the book of Genesis after Abraham, who was then called Abram, won a decisive military victory. Two kings came to Abram with gifts. The first was the king of Sodom. Yeah, that's Sodom. Abraham wanted nothing to do with the treasures of that wicked king and that wicked city. He declared he would not let it be said that the king of Sodom made him rich. The second king was Melchizedek. He came and brought bread and wine for Abram and his troops. Melchizedek was the high priest and king of Jerusalem, and he was serving the one true God in the midst of a pagan land, because the city of Jerusalem at that time was under pagan Canaanite control. First, Melchizedek blessed Abram. Then he blessed God for giving Abram a victory. Then Abram presented Melchizedek with a tithe, one-tenth of everything that he had. And after that, this mysterious priestly king departs and is not mentioned again in the Bible for nearly 1,000 years. It wasn't until King David wrote about the coming Savior in Psalm 110, he wrote these words, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." A priest forever? Nobody can be a priest forever. I can't be a pastor forever. You can't be a king forever. You can't be a plumber or an electrician or a school teacher or anything forever. Hebrews 7 says you need many priests because death prevents them from continuing in their office. Well, didn't need to be told that, right? However, Jesus is a priest forever? Yes, he holds his priesthood forever and he holds it for you. He is righteous. We read in 2 Corinthians that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Melchizedek, his name means King of Righteousness. So there's this connection to the holy, sinless Jesus Christ. In fact, our Christian church recognizes that Melchizedek was actually God the Son appearing to Abram, the only one who could be a priest forever, and that Jesus was known as Melchizedek at that time. He did not yet have his human body from the Virgin Mary, but he certainly existed from all eternity. So there's that. Now, Melchizedek is the king of Salem, and Salem was the earliest name for Jerusalem. Salem means peace. Well, Jesus brought peace between you and God. He made you into something that you cannot make yourself into, and that is righteous in God's sight. So what does all this mean for us thousands of years later in this year of 2021? Have you ever felt like the high priest? You're burdened not only with your sins, but the sins of other people? Well, then consider Abram. He had the responsibility of taking care of a large tribe, and he had family troubles. The book of Genesis records he had trouble with his nephew Lot. Abram was fighting wars. Back in those days, one tribe would try to take the land of another tribe because it was better land. You had to fight for what was yours. Abram's dear wife had recently been kidnapped and returned, and they were still childless. Abram also had moments of great weakness that threatened his community and his family. So the people we read about in the Bible, although we think of them as great heroes, they were actually just people like us who struggled with issues quite similar to our own. And then what about that treasure that Abram was offered from Sodom? What would you have done? Would you have taken it and said, "I'll just put it to better use"? Or would you have refused it? It's awful hard to stand on principle sometimes. It's hard to be a believer and a servant of the one true God in a pagan culture, as was Melchizedek. Now, to be sure, Abram had God's promise that he would become the father of many nations. You know, but that's a pretty distant promise. You're not going to live to see that. You know, how do we know what our family will be like 100 years after we're gone, 1,000 years after we're gone? The promise God made to Abram seemed so distant concerning everything the man was going through, but God kept that promise. Abram and Sarah had a son, Isaac, and through him, many nations would eventually arise, just as God said, even though Abram wouldn't be around in this life to see it. So, yeah, we may have problems that are similar to Abram's, and maybe we have some that aren't. Consider James and John in our gospel lesson today. They probably, no doubt, felt frustration and underappreciation in their work. They weren't seeing things panning out immediately. See, we're a culture that wants immediate gratification. So were they. So they made a request of Jesus to rule in his kingdom, one on the left and one on the right side. And that request angered the other 10, the co-workers, and Jesus had to refuse the request. And I think many of us can relate to that in our, maybe in our work lives, when some people seem to want more than they're entitled to, and we wonder, why aren't we getting any appreciation? But yet God is God, and he was with Abram, and he's with you too. Abram actually had the Prince of Peace, the King of Salem, watching over him and blessing him, and so do you. Like James and John, you have your master with you always, and you have the honor of serving the cause of Jesus Christ in whatever way he has chosen for you. When relationships are strained, as they were with the 10 angry disciples, Jesus calls you to reconcile to God and to each other. When you're tempted to take the easier path, as Abram was when he refused the money of the king of Sodom, you have God showing you the narrow gate and helping you to enter through it. And when you feel inclined to tuck your faith, your Savior, and your church away for a spell, you have Jesus calling you back, eager to receive you and never willing to write you off. God's divine promises do not guarantee anyone an absence of trouble, but they do promise that God is with you always, upholding you until he takes you to your heavenly home. He will never leave you, and you will never lose him. Like his high priesthood, Jesus' love for you is permanent, not temporary, but forever. He is a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, and he does it for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Please rise for the offertory.